The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on October 30th, 1983 in Honolulu, Hawaii. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 9, Verse 43.
Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Bhoicharan Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. I am the super soul of every individual, the supreme director, and the dearest. People are wrongly attached to the gross and subtle body, but they should be attached to me only. Translation. I am the super soul of every individual, the supreme director, and the dearest. People are wrongly attached
to the gross and subtle body,
but they should be attached to me only. Report by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, is the dearest both in the conditioned and liberated state. When a person does not know that the Lord is the only, that the Lord only is the dearmost object, then he is in the conditioned state of life. And when he knows perfectly well that the Lord only is the dearmost object, he is considered to be liberated. There are degrees of knowing one's relationship with the Lord, depending on the degree of realization as to why the Supreme Lord is the dearmost object of every living being. The real reason is clearly stated in Bhagavad Gita 15:7. Mamaivangso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha. The living entities are eternally parts and parcel of the Supreme Lord. The living entity is called the Atma, and the Lord is called the Paramatma. The living entity is called Brahman, and the Lord is called the Parabrahman, or the Parameswara. Iswaraha Paramaha Krishnaha Satchidananda Vigraha. The conditioned souls who do not have self-realization accept the material body as the dearmost. The idea of the dearmost is then spread all over the body, both concentrated and extended. The attachment to one's own body and its extensions, like children and relatives, is actually developed on the basis of the real living entity. As soon as the real living entity is out of the body, even the body of the most dear son is no longer attractive. Therefore, the living spark or eternal part of the Supreme is the real basis of affection and not the body. Because the living entities are also parts of the whole living entity, therefore that Supreme living entity is the factual basis of affection for all. One who has forgotten the basic principle of his love for everything has only flickering love because he is in Maya. The more one is affected by the principle of Maya, the more he is detached from the basic principle of love. One cannot actually love anything unless it's fully developed in the loving service of the Lord. In the present verse, stress is given to focusing love upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word kurdyat is significant here. This means one must have it. It is just to stress that we must have more and more attachment to the principle of love. The influence of maya is experienced by a departed and parasol spiritual entity, but it cannot influence the super soul or the paramatma. The Mayavadi philosophers accepting the influence of maya on the living entity want to become one with the paramatma, but because they have no actual love for paramatma, they remain ever entrapped by the influence of maya and are unable to approach the vicinity of paramatma. This inability is due to their lack of affection for the paramatma. A rich miser does not know how to utilize his wealth, and therefore, in spite of his being very rich, his miserly behavior keeps him everlastingly a poor man. On the other hand, a person who knows how to utilize wealth can quickly become a rich man, even with a small credit balance. The eyes and the sun are very intimately related because without sunlight, the eyes are unable to see. But the other parts of the body, being attached to the sun as a source of warmth, take more advantage of the sun than do the eyes. Without possessing affection for the sun, the eyes cannot bear the rays of the sun. Or in other words, such eyes have no capacity to understand the utility of the sun's rays. Similarly, the empiric philosophers, despite their theoretical knowledge of Brahman, cannot utilize the mercy of the Supreme Brahman only for want of affection. So many impersonal philosophers remain everlastingly under the influence of maya because, although they indulge in theoretical knowledge of Brahman, they neither develop affection for Brahman, nor do they have any scope for development of affection because of their defective method. A devotee of the sun god, even though devoid of eyesight, can see the sun god as he is, even from this planet, whereas one who is not a devotee of the sun cannot even bear the glaring sunlight. Similarly, by devotional service, even though one is not on the level of a jnani, he can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead within himself due to his development of pure love. In all circumstances, one should try to develop love of Godhead, and that will solve all contending problems. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport and translation of the Srimad Bhagavatam, text 43, chapter 9, canto 3, in the matter of Brahma's prayers for creative energy. Before the creation of the universe, or before the creation of all the bodies in the universe, Brahma was meditating on the super soul but could not find the origin of his existence. It's natural that someone wants to know, who am I? We told that small children ask their parents, who am I? I know that in the identity crisis that is being suffered is nothing new. When Brahma was born, he was suffering an identity crisis. There he was sitting on top of the lotus. He didn't know what he was supposed to do. He didn't know where he came from. And there was nobody else in sight. He had an identity crisis. Who was it? But he was better than a lot of the other hypocritical people who kind of just follow along with the rat race and don't bother to try to find out who they are. He thought that the first priority was to find out his origin. So he tried to seek out his origin, but he was born directly by the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So therefore, one can't find out Vishnu by one's own searching. God is beyond the personality of God. It is beyond the range of our own discovery techniques. However, he can reveal himself. After trying to search through the normal empirical methods, Brahma failed, so then he was thinking, what should he do? At that time, there were two syllables which came through the ether. They were tapa. Tapa means do penance, do austerity. So he started to do penance, he's meditating and performing certain austerities. And this way, he was able to get the favor of Lord Krishna. And so the Super Soul now has appeared before him. The Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, in his personal form, although he's so gigantic, he's also appeared here in a quite smaller form, visible form, normal size. Yeah. So now he's explaining that I am the Super Soul of every individual, the Supreme Director and the dearest. People are wrongly attached to the gross and subtle bodies, but they should be attached to me only. Of course, then he tells Brahma to do the creation work. But here's in a nutshell. People should be attached to their self and to the super self, not so attached to the body. Just like a person tries to get from one place to another. And rent a car. The car breaks down, and you ask the company for another car. In a similar way, we're in these bodies, they're like rented cars. And when they break down, when they're no longer usable, nature gives us another one. Normally, the animal species, they don't have any decision to make about where they're going. Their destination is already chalked out. But the human being has got a greater intelligence so that the human being can decide in which direction he wants to go. So there are so many different directions which great sages have categorized into basically three. Mukti, bhakti, siddhi, kami, sapri, shanti. There's the bhukti, desire for material enjoyment. Mukti, the desire for liberation. Siddhi kami, the desire for mystic power. Either material enjoyment, salvation, or mystic power. These are the basic three directions that one can go. Beyond that, there's a devotional service or developing love for God. So it describes sudurlabham, adurlabham, atma bhakto. That to realize Krishna is sudurlabham, that means it's inconceivably difficult. But then he says adurlabham, atma bhakto. But for my own devotees, it's not difficult at all. It's easy. So anyway, if a person becomes a devotee of Krishna, it's very easy to realize Krishna. But if a person is not a devotee, then it's not easy. In fact, it's very difficult. So Krishna here is summing it up. The people are attached. They have rati. Rati means attachment or love or some very intimate attachment. But what are they attached to? Ato mayi rati kurya dehadi. Deha means the body, and adhi means, and so on. So body and mind, and all those things connected with the body and mind. From our body comes children. From the, in the body connection, there are relatives, our parents, their brothers, and so on and so forth. Deha adhi. Mayapur on the phone? So we have the attachment for one's own body and senses like children, relatives. But if we go further, this attachment is not unnatural. But the attachment is actually on the basis of a real living entity. When the real living entity leaves the body, then the body is no longer attractive, it's no longer dear. Of course, there are, like in India, say there's a cow, and the calf dies prematurely. So then the cow will stop giving milk. The cow loves its calf. It licks the calf. It's very affectionate. Gives the milk. So suddenly the calf dies. And then in Indian cows, they've bred it out of the American breed. They don't want this, you know, immediately separated at birth, and they don't allow these type of natural things to happen. But in the Indian cows, this is one of the defects that modern dairy has said that they have this attachment for their offspring. So in case the offspring dies, then they stop giving milk. So what the farmers do sometimes is they take the calf and dry the skin or whatever, and they stuff it. They make it, what do you call it? That's like a taxidermy, you know, that's what they call it. They stuff it and they hang it up by the mother. And the mother smells is the same, you know, and because it's a cow, it's not too smart, so then it passes by and keeps on giving the milk. But that's all right if you're a cow. But a human being, when the soul leaves the body, nobody's very attached to the body. Can't keep it. It's not the same. Anyone can see that it's not the same. So the actual basis of the attachment, a human being can understand that it's the basis is the presence of the soul. That means that we're actually attached to the soul, that particular soul within the body. So that attachment, when you take it, for that soul is part of the Supreme Soul. So that means that actually all of the attachments and affections and love that we may experience is actually indirectly on the basis of our love and affection for the Supreme One, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because of being in Maya, being in the material world, we're seeing everything through these superficial material energies. So when someone actually directly develops real affection and attachment, real affection towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then that person becomes qualified to realize the secrets about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because that love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is something which is constant, something which doesn't go away. It's permanent. But the indirect manifestations of that original affection, which are being given to family, friends, and so on, that is very flickery because of the imperfections of the various individuals and the person himself in dealing and being a person in a material illusion. There are so many obstacles which come in the way of those affections, and as a result, the person doesn't maintain that affection in one place. It's always changing. So, the process of Krishna consciousness is actually a meditation on focusing our affection. Concentrating our affection to Krishna. Because he's the original basis of all affection and love. With some people, they focus looking at a candle. For some people, they do various type of method, focusing on the tip of their nose. There's others who focus on the Vedanta, mental speculation. Focus on speculating on so many philosophical points. But the bhakti yogis, they are focusing their affection on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is makes this process can be effectively performed by women, by children, by men, by anyone. Philosophical speculation may be more the domain of men in general, although there are exceptions. There have been great mystic yoginis, no doubt. But in the field of bhakti yoga, there are a great, of course, number of both men and women, realized souls who have achieved perfection by practicing bhakti yoga. So bhakti means this affection. Now that affection is translated into practical work. Not something ephemeral or just sentiment, but there's some real knowledge behind it. That's why, like, Prabhupada's name is Bhakti Vedanta. Devotion or affection with transcendental knowledge. So, these two are combined. And one, through knowledge, is able to distinguish what is Maya. What is actually giving my affection to the wrong thing, to something which is indirectly connected with Krishna, and what is directly connected with Krishna. So if we have direct connection, concentrating, giving our affection to Krishna, his dear devotees, his loved ones. So if you want to love Krishna, love those whom Krishna loves. Sometimes you see the Mayavadi, they say that they are devotees of Krishna. And they have pictures of Krishna alone. Prabhupada never wanted to have a picture of Krishna alone. Any picture you see, Krishna is never alone. At least in the Hare Krishna temple. Because that's the actual way it is. He is never alone. Just like you're never going to expect to see the president or the king, he's never alone. He's got his aide-de-camp, he's got a secretary, press agent, or whatever, prime minister. They're not alone. But Krishna is never alone. He always has some devotee with him, either it's a cow, or a peacock, or a Balaram, or the gopis, or the cowherd boys, or Radharani, or someone. He's never alone. Always someone is with him. So if you love or give your affection to those whom Krishna loves, then naturally you become very dear to Krishna. Say that you say, well, I like Krishna, but I don't like all those people he hangs around with. Especially those cows. I want Krishna without the cow. So then you see, there's not any shortcut. In fact, you'll probably be disqualified because you'll never find Krishna in any other circumstance. If you want to love Krishna, give your affection to Krishna. In fact, it's easier to give the affection to the loved ones of Krishna. So, you cannot make Krishna conform to your limited idea. That won't work. Actually, we have to rather direct our affection to conform with the way Krishna is. He's a constant. It's the absolute factor. This is the way the absolute truth is. It doesn't change. Material world changes. Our affection can change in different directions. But he is not going to change. So if we naturally hear about him and follow the various processes of bhakti yoga, then what happens is that we're focusing our attention on Krishna as he is. He is surrounded with devotees, and if you study those devotees' qualities and characteristics, you find that they are perfect reflections of Krishna's original, of his own qualities.